In order to prepare for our study this morning, it is customary for us to pause for a few moments of silent prayer. You may use that time for rebound if necessary. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for yet another opportunity to peruse your word. We thank you for the power it possesses, how it can be transferred to our souls, retained there, aggrandized there, retained there, therefore available for application into the hostile environment of the devil's world. It is our prayer that what we do here today will aggrandize that challenge. As we lift our prayer, in Christ's name, amen. We're on document 2. We're on page 15. And we've got some alphabet here. So I think what I'll do is go back to point A to keep things in context and introduce it with point 8. All too often, the system of happiness that believers seek is based on a false premise called if system of happiness. The if system of happiness is a system of unreality, of dreaming or hoping or assuming that you do not have happiness because you do not have these things. It includes the following thoughts. Now, the if system of happiness is the if-onlys. So I've got the if-onlys on the board for you, the list of if-only in one's frantic search for happiness. We'll go through them. I think there are 13. I made up the last one. If I only married this or that person, you wish that you had married someone else. This is no capacity for love. Why would you marry somebody and you hadn't vetted that? Do I just like her? I think she's pretty. Do I love her? And if I love her, if I take her as my wife, am I willing to be with her until death parts us? Or are you willing just to try it out? There's nothing to try out. There's got to be something in the soul that locks in to the other person in varied and sundried ways in order to get around to the idea of saying, sweet darling, will you marry me? If I only married this or that person, too late. If I only had done this rather than that. This is the concept of no capacity for blessing. No capacity for blessing means you have failed to understand or execute the unique spiritual life of the church age. That's where blessings are found. And they are not all the ones that you can see or feel or touch. They usually are things that occur in the soul, and that is by your ability to think either establishment viewpoint, doctrinal viewpoint, or go to the dark side, and many are available there. If I only had done this or that. That's volition, you see. C, if I only had this detail of life or that detail of life. This is no capacity for what God has provided. It is what we want rather than what God has provided for us. And he always knows what's best for us. So you have a relaxed mental attitude about what you have. And you can use your wisdom as it accrues over time through the inculcation of immutable truth to accumulate these things and do so from the basis of the Word of God. So we have if only. D, if I only had good luck. This means no capacity for the plan of God. There's no such thing as luck. You can call it luck if you want, but things occur, things happen, and you orient and adjust. Sometimes you're pleased with it, sometimes not, but there you go. Orient and adjust. E, if I only had $1 million, This is no capacity for prosperity. If God wanted you to have $1 million, you would have $1 million. And this means no capacity for life just to be wanting that. What if you had $1 million dropped in your lap? What would you do? You have the power to purchase, power to go places, power to do things. How would your volition guide you with a whole lot of money? Maybe you'd get in trouble. Maybe you'd have a good time blowing and going. If I only had $1 million. If I could only have the man of my dreams, this means no capacity for true love. So the man in your dreams is a man you had to make up. He's a non-entity. It's in your mind. Just stand fast and see who God provides to be your right person. And if you've got any doctrine, you can figure that out. And people without doctrine at least can use common sense. If only I could meet the woman of my dreams. This is also no capacity for love. Capacity for love comes from Bible doctrine, and God provides the right man. Now, I got on a toot the other night, and Joanna called me out on that. But everybody else seemed to enjoy it. But nevertheless, it was all true. And I never looked back. Oh, sweet darling. If only I could meet the woman of my dreams. See that? This all has to do with no capacity for love. Capacity for love comes from the Bible doctrine that you have, and God provides the right man as a result. If I could achieve the approbation of this or that person, the approbation, someone would like me. This means no capacity for occupation with the person of Jesus Christ. Occupation with Christ is part of this great happiness that God has given to believers who execute the spiritual life. And by the way, believers cannot execute the spiritual life unless they have doctrine. Showing up at church on Sundays, second session. Back when I was growing up, they had a early church, and I don't know when it began, I'd say 9 o'clock. And we were not dressed by 9 o'clock. So then we went to the second service, which started at 11. And I would sit on the very back row, underneath the balcony, in the shadows. And Dr. Ammerman would blow you 8 from the pulpit way down yonder. And we would sit on the back row, and we would giggle and elbow each other and that kind of thing. And people somehow were able to not throw us out, which we deserve to be thrown out. Children should be told, you're sitting with us and we're on the front row. And then we can discuss how you didn't like the front row later. It's called orient and adjust to policy. You do not have to wish for it, though, because it's already been given to you in eternity past. Occupation with Christ is something that can occur in your soul if you grow in grace. You got to learn who he is. He's our hero. He's the guy that never sinned. He is the guy running the show. Orient to that. So sharing the happiness of God is a part of the plan of God for your life, as well as occupation with Christ, especially in time of adversity. Always be occupied with Christ. Whatever circumstance you're in, it was in the divine decree in eternity past. Orient and adjust to that and start using the doctrine you know to deal with it. If I could only be as handsome as someone else. It was hard for me to be handsome because I stuck my head underneath a Jeep when I was 10 years old. So I have holes in my head. So I have a hard time being handsome. Nevertheless, this means no capacity for the right emphasis. How you look is how God planned it. He planned for me to have a hole in my head because I took a right-hand turn, didn't pull out of it, and crashed into a loblolly pine. Jeep turned over, landed on my head. I'm laughing because I'm here. Most people have a Jeep land on their head, die. Thank you, Jesus. If I could only be as beautiful as someone else. This means no capacity for the right emphasis for the woman. This has nothing to do with the inner beauty of a woman's respect for the authority of her husband as she would respect God. The highest love a woman can have is not romance, but respect. If you can't respect the man you're married to, you married the wrong person. Or, on the other hand, you don't have your mind right. Respect is the inner beauty of the woman. If I only had what he has, this is lust to destroy your capacity. You may want his personality, sense of humor, or ability to entertain others. These things will never make you happy. They are a distraction to the spiritual life. So anything that distracts from your spiritual life needs to be reined in by volitional decisions. You need to change the way you think. If I only had what she had, wanting to be desired by all men, etc., that is not happiness. This is distraction by sin, evil, and failure. And I added a 13. If only I was happy. Your volition decides whether you're happy or not. You say, well, things just not going my way. Well, why aren't they? Did you make poor decisions from a position of weakness? Are there other people in your life that do things that cause you to be unhappy when it's their life that's therefore the issue? Can you orient and adjust to other people being who they are, even though wrong? These things which we lust for are the reason why we are under divine punishment as individuals and as a nation. We've gathered together here today in what is called a church. We have First Amendment rights to be here. They want to take that away from us, these heathen that are running the show now. I would just say to you, if they get around to saying we're shutting the churches, you're to ignore that. Show up the next opportunity. Come in the front door and sit down and we'll have Bible class. We'll keep doing it till they come and get us. And then we'll start evangelizing them as they take us off. And when they get us to the jailhouse, we'll evangelize anybody that's there. And we'll keep doing it till they kill us. These things which we lust for are the reason why we're under divine punishment as individuals and as a nation. Loss of thought. It's not about the people who are running the show. It's about the loss of thought among those who call themselves Christians. The loss of thought occurred over the last century, starting in the early 1920s, and it's been a slow go downhill ever since. What has been the result of that? Into the vacuum, Lucifer has deployed his minions. And there's nothing unusual about that. Nothing unusual at all. Okay, here's some principles of application. A, capacity from Bible doctrine and reciprocal love for God must precede blessing from God. So that's a formula. Capacity for Bible doctrine. You have to have capacity for that. It can be very boring. Things have to be explained. A concept has to be presented, and then you do a doctrine. Point one, here's what this means. Define it. Then do subpoints. What is capacity? capacity. We'll do the, I think, it's coming up. Let's see if I can find it. I think we're in the capacity now. Yes, we are. If you have capacity, it means you have an inventory of ideas that can take in new information and merge that with what you already know and enlarge your inventory of ideas. That's what Bible study's for. So we've got one of those right here. 66 books. People have their Bibles. When you graduated, I don't know about you people up here in the north, but when you graduate from high school down in lower Alabama, you got a Bible. Did you ever crack that Bible? I'm doing some cracking here. Ezekiel. Who are these guys? And it's one right after another. Then there are these Proverbs. Those little sissy little bromides. So you've got it. And see how good looking that Bible is? It's because it stays up here on this pulpit. Nobody ever uses it. I hold it up every now and then to say, this is a Bible. And there's a name on the front of it. And I'm not going to tell you whose name it is. But it's all because I can't spell. There's a guy's name on here that got one of these when he graduated from high school. And I misspelled his name. So that's why the pulpit has a Bible. I had to order another one. I never could spell anyhow. Why would I even take people's names to put on Bibles and therefore send it off to the Bible printing company knowing that I can't spell? Not even a person's name. And then there's math without numbers. So I really had a hard time growing up in school. So if I only had the common sense to know how to spell, so that went out the window. Principles for application, let's do this again. Capacity for Bible doctrine and reciprocal love for God must precede blessings from God. Capacity comes as we learn Bible doctrine, which drives garbage out of the subconscious. Garbage in the soul accumulates over time, and it's normal. You can have garbage and not know it's garbage, and then doctrine reveals that it is, and then you have to expel it. It is the beginning of inner beauty, inner blessing, and the dynamic spiritual life God's given us. When you can think from the Word of God, which is immutable truth, and these things are available for recall to you because you have done the work in boring Bible classes to acquire these kinds of concepts and ideas, principles, and they are immutable, then you have the power to make good decisions from a position of strength. And it's the Word of God, and He honors it. So you got to believe that. Capacity for Bible doctrine and reciprocal love for God must precede blessings from God. Capacity comes when we learn Bible doctrine, which drives garbage out of your subconsciousness. Get the garbage out. That's what Bible study will do for you. You have a principle, a concept, or an idea, and that is something you log on to and you therefore apply. And then the Bible takes that, holds it up, exegetes it, and says, no, that's erroneous. This is how you ought to think. And the Bible study does that for you. That's why we have churches. So it is the beginning of inner beauty, inner blessing, and the dynamic spiritual life God has given to us. Now, the if system of happiness has zero capacity for blessing from God. The if system, and we just noted a number of those. They are all things related to your arrogance and lust, and they combine to destroy your spiritual life if you have one. Now, the if system of happiness has no capacity for true love, so that you will never know true love in a relationship. Don't turn the page. You'll never know true love in a relationship. So those people who date other individuals, I'm assuming it's the opposite sex. It's hard to tell these days. In fact, you don't really know what sex the opposite is anymore. Then that's a pit of confusion for me. But nevertheless, we have that going on. So how do you evaluate people with whom you associate, and then you decide to ask someone out on a date, who are they? Beautiful stud muffin or sweet darling, who are they? Find out who they are, and you take them on a date. And you maybe pose a question, what do you think about thus and so? And then they verbalize back. Asking questions reveals a lot of things. And so you think thus and so? Yes, that's what I do. That's very interesting. Very interesting. Especially if it's a young lady, what are you going to do? Say, I think you're dumber than a post. No, that's not the right thing to do. You just say, very interesting. And it is very interesting. Very interesting for me to find out that you're dumb as a post. But you don't want to... You don't want to tell her that. Just take her home. Say, sweet darling, it's been wonderful to be associated with you this evening. Have a good evening. And you drive off into the night. And you don't ask her any. All right, you can flip that thing. She's asked the same question. She gets home and the daddy says, how'd you like Fred? He was an okay guy, but I don't want to have anything else to do with him. He's dumb as a post. Done with him. So questions are good. There's nothing wrong with asking a question. What do you think about the sunrise? Do you like sunrises? If someone asked me that, I'd say, I don't think I've seen a sunrise in my life. I don't get up that early, especially in the summer when it comes up around 4. That's not what I do. So if Johanna asked me, what do you think of sunrises? I'd say, I've never seen one. I don't do sunrises. Ask me about the moon sets. I can talk about that. The if system of happiness has zero capacity for blessing from God. If all things related to your arrogance and lust, and they combine to destroy your spiritual life. So you find out if another person is arrogant. What do you think about thus and so?
Well, I'll tell you what I think.
Then they'll tell you. And then you sit there and you do not want to argue. Let them give you all the information they will. And then if they stop talking, say, well, go on. Please go on. That's what they say in the South. Go on. And then you would go on. The if system of happiness has no capacity for true love, so that you will never know true love in a relationship. The if system of happiness has no capacity for what God has provided and for what he has not provided. Get rid of the ifs. Find out the facts. It is God's plan that must come first, so that when we grow in grace and advance to the point of glorifying God, it is then we will be thankful that God did not provide certain things in our life that would have made us miserable. The if system of happiness. We often ask God for things and he says no, because it is a great blessing for us to not have them to protect us as our spiritual advance. But God's not going to give you blessings unless you have the capacity for it. Some people get blessings because they desire it and then go for it, and they call that blessings. Sometimes it works out and sometimes it doesn't. But the thing to do is be patient and let God provide. Just let him throw it in your lap at the perfect time. The if system of happiness looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. The circulation of thought in our soul, and that's even mentioned by 1 Samuel 16, verse 7b. And the heart here has to do with that inventory of ideas that you possess, and this is accumulated over a long period of time. You start out as a child, and I was just talking to a young fellow. He has 2 children now. One of them is 4 years old, and one's 2. And he and his wife are just thrilled as punch about their new children. And he asked him how they're doing. He said they're both terrorists. And I'm thinking, Fine, they're 4-2. What do you expect? They came here to ruin your life. And it's your job to turn them into a citizen. But right now, their old sin nature says, I hope you die in a fire. Because they're terrorists. But they will take the food. The capacity concept. So we have some conclusions. Capacity and happiness are in the soul because Bible doctrine's in the soul. So let's crank up and do some ABCs here. How many ABCs do we have? Oh, my goodness. I'm bloviating here. I'm going to bloviate through H. This is a conclusion. I don't know how. What number is H? I don't know. Let's start with A. All these attitudes in the if system of happiness produce no happiness at all, only frustration and misery. This is the if system. If is a big, fat, juicy word, you know. It means you don't know. If. See, if should have a question mark behind it. Because if you say, if thus and so, well, you don't know thus and so. So you say if. All these attitudes in the if system of happiness produce no happiness at all, only frustration and misery. If you're living under iffy happiness, then you are in a state of misery. So if you use the word if, you're miserable. If this false system of happiness is an exercise of futility and demonstrates total occupation with self and other things, then, obviously, as a believer, you will never know the fantastic things God has provided for you in time. So he's provided all this stuff, and it's in the queue for you if you have the capacity for it. How do you get the capacity? You can wish for things, and they will not occur to you. God knows what will aggrandize your advance in the spiritual life, and he will provide that for you at the proper time. If you don't get to that level of spiritual capacity, then it's going to be withheld by him, but you can jump the shark, so to speak, and decide to get it on your own, from which action you will not be happy. You got to wait for God to provide it in his divine decree, and doctrine is what does that. Also, you can say, if I could just do this, that, and the other thing, and then you do it ahead of the schedule and find out it's the worst thing that could have happened to you because you made the decision without any capacity for it. So the greater blessings would come along for those who had had them in time. The patience to wait for the provision. See, if you are in the if system of happiness, you have lost any possibility of true happiness as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Happiness through an if system. Because true happiness comes from the execution of the unique spiritual life of the church age. What is that unique spiritual life? When it starts out with confession alone to God alone, filled with the Holy Spirit, and go to Bible class. Why go to Bible class? Why are there churches? That's an interesting question. The hoi polloi that are running the country now don't like churches. I don't know why Christians don't like churches anymore. So why are they bothered? Nevertheless, they're still there. And so you have these churches where people gather, and what do they do when they gather? What kind of theology are they gathering to hear? What are the basic concepts, principles, and doctrines associated with that theology? Is it being taught from the pulpit by a guy that knows the scriptures and therefore can break things down doctrinally? If so, maybe they can grow in grace. But what has happened in 21st century America where Christianity is shrinking in the face of absolute chaos? when we ought to be the power that keeps this from happening, because so many of us have accurate thought in our souls and apply it on a daily basis. And as a result of that, these people would never become powerful. They would have never had the power. Now look at us. How did this happen? Loss of thought. It's not their fault. They're Luciferians. That's who they are. And he's running the show. And the vacuum has occurred by Christianity losing the thought, and into the vacuum comes Luciferian strategies. He's running the planet. We've studied this. And we've allowed him in. So it's not all of these people that you see on TV. What did you expect from these people? They were suppressed by doctrine in the souls of so many people in a client nation. They could not gain a hearing. And when they did, they were ostracized. And now there's so many of them and so few of us. And then you make up reasons not to come to church, whatever they happen to be. Someone didn't dress right. Someone said something. Somebody did this, that, and the other thing. Your job is to grow in grace. Other people have the same challenge in their soul. They'll take care of their business. You take care of yours. Come to church. Pray for the guys that you think have lost their minds and stay out of their way. So I guess you can say this, we got into a level of Christian combat. If you are in the if system of happiness, you have lost any possibility of a true happiness as a believer in Jesus Christ. But true happiness comes from the execution of the unique spiritual life of the church age. That's where true happiness is found. And it's a unique system. What does unique mean? There's nothing else like it that comes close to being near it. In other words, it's the only system that is filled with absolute concepts that are immutable. Emeth and aletheia. It's true. It is true that this is absolutely correct and will always be so. It is absolutely true that this is always incorrect and will always be incorrect. Don't do that. Think this way. Go to Bible class, find out the difference between the two. Take that into the hostile environment of the devil's world and stand fast for the truth or reject the lie. Enough people do that, we wouldn't have the chaos we have in this country. Loss of thought does this. If you do not understand the unique spiritual life of the church age, there's no hope for you. Especially in 21st century America. You can't defend your soul if you don't have doctrine. The propaganda machines crank it out daily, and they give you visuals. I cannot get my mind around this fact that people can go into the streets of America, set fire to buildings, take the merchandise out of the buildings into the streets, and the problem-solving device on that is if it's not more than $900, it's okay. Who invested in that business? Who put their investment and have stocks in that business, therefore to make some income so they can have a living? Called capitalism. Lucifer hates it, and he's tearing it down. And people, the acolytes, go into these buildings and take the merchandise out in the streets scot-free. And it's okay by those who run the country. Nothing's been done about it. If you do not understand the unique spiritual life of the church age, there's no hope for you. But learning the simple principles involved is easy if you take the time. Therefore, we have the opportunity for the greatest possible happiness in all human history because of the execution of our unique spiritual life during the greatest and most honorable historical horrible historical situations, which is manifested today by the abnormal forms of criminality that have arisen in our country, including terrorism. And terrorism apparently is okay now. These things are maximum punishment to our nation. This is what it looks like when a client nation is being overthrown. If you miss that, you haven't paid attention the last 2.5 years. How can these things that violate the law and every aspect of free enterprise, how is it that this is going on and it is okay by those who run the show and law enforcement therefore is suppressed and even removed from the scene? Where are we? In Bugahuga, in lower echelons of Africa, the Bulahugas. No orientation to authority. You get in my way, I'll kill you dead in a heartbeat. We are below normal. We have bought into the lie, and the lie is running the show. Why is that? It's not because of those people. They are Luciferians. We're the ones that have allowed this to occur. And when I say we, I mean Christianity in America. Christianity is losing the war. So I repeat D. Therefore, we have the opportunity for the greatest possible happiness in all human history because of the execution of our unique spiritual life. This occurs during the greatest and most horrible historical situations, which is manifested today by the abnormal forms of criminality that have arisen in our country, including terrorism. These things are maximum punishment to our nation. This is what it looks like when previous priest and client nations failed. This is what it looks like. But we change all this by using the recovery process of 1 John 1:9 and beginning to advance in our spiritual life, and that's what we try to do here. Have the threat of a fifth cycle of discipline and the attack of terrorism at the same time gives us the opportunity for maximum use of our spiritual life and the greatest opportunity for glorifying God and the happiness that goes with it. Up here is pleroma, or pleroma, the accent's on the first syllable. But we have the tendency to want to accent the middle syllable, pleroma. Well, it's pleroma. And in the bottom, how is it you get to this high ground here? A personal sense of destiny. Occupation with Christ. How do you get occupied with Christ? You can be occupied with the Word. It's the mind of Christ. Epinosis, knowledge. What is epinosis? Gnosis is knowledge. What is epinosis? Go beyond knowledge. There's knowledge in the human realm. There's epinosis. There's a higher knowledge in the spiritual realm. And that's the absolute truth of the Word of God. So you have epinosis, superior knowledge from doctrine. And so you have the mentorship of the Holy Spirit. And therefore you have over here on the letter, agathe, motivation. And agape means you're motivated to study the Word and grow in grace. And therefore, these two working together, reciprocal love along with inculcation of immutable doctrine, takes you to pleroma, which is the high ground. You do that mentally. And there's incoming flak, doesn't matter, because you can manage whatever is coming at you, because you have the immutable, what shall we say? It cannot in any way be faulted. It's absolute truth. And you have that, and you can stand with it. And if they want to kill you, fine, absent from the body, face to face with the Lord. But your job is to stand fast for truth and get your mind right about the advance to the high ground. That is the Defense Department that we can use to overcome the horrors presently percolating in our country. And now, of course, you all know that. Let's try this one. Definition of pleroma status. This comes from Themes Bible Doctrine Dictionary. I quote, this is pleroma, the Greek word literally meaning a state of fullness, completion, used figuratively to designate the status of the ultra-mature church-age believer. Ultra-mature, high-ground kind of people. So you go back, you go into the high ground. Pleroma indicates spiritual fulfillment, a full utilization of grace and doctrine for maximum happiness, blessings, and glorification of God. You can do that by going with the truth in your soul, making application. Just as the Father was pleased for, quote, all the fullness or pleroma to dwell in Him, the Son, in Colossians 1:19, it is His purpose that the church-age believer also be, quote, filled up to all the fullness, the pleroma of God, Ephesians 3:19. This is the highest spiritual honor bestowed, even greater than the status of, quote, friend of God held by Abraham, noted in James 2:23. Because the pleroma believer has executed the same spiritual life that brought Jesus Christ a victory on the cross. It was a pleroma victory. Why? He had all of the doctrine. He knew why he was there. He was willing to stay. Because he knew he'd be resurrected. We even studied that yesterday. Was it yesterday we were here? Wow. It was less than 24 hours ago we noted this. He was hanging on the cross. He knew he had to go there. He knew he was the sacrifice. Why? Because he had no sin, therefore qualified to take the imputation of all our sins. The imputation means that he was judged in our place. And because he's been judged, we therefore have the opportunity to say, I believe that, and he's the guy. Thanks God. He's the guy. So let's do F again. This glorification of God comes from advancing to the high ground of pleroma. That's a status filled with all the fullness of God, and added to it the tremendous happiness that comes from trusting the Lord in time of great adversity. So we're in time of great adversity now. Who do you trust? God, the Word. That's where your power is. You believe you have a wall of fire around you? You have that wall of fire if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, growing in grace, have doctrine in your soul, and you're in the midst of chaos. How do you protect yourself? Yet filled with the Holy Spirit and keep plugging away. One day, and we're in St. Charles County, one day they'll drive up to that little barrier out front. They may not know the numbers, so they can just drive through that barrier. Kablooey. Come up to the front door. We got a spy looking at the front door right now. And these guys will have officer uniforms on. And they'll knock on the door, and he'll let them in and say, gentlemen, how can I help you? And they'll say, we've come here to shut this building down. And what do we say in response to that? What have we done to deserve this? And they will say, it's the way you think. And we'll say, well, we have a constitutional amendment that says that we can be here and do this. Oh, yes, there's no question about that, but we are trumping that today. And so you can all go to the jailhouse now with us, or you can just file out of here and go home and be no more of this. So you can make a decision. No, we're going to sit here. We're going to sit here and have Bible class. And if you can sit down if you want to and listen to what we got to say or not. And they say, no, we have handcuffs and such. They say, well, okay, well, fine, but we will do the same thing in yourselves. We will keep teaching the word of God wherever you take us, and then you'll have to kill us, and we're absent from the body and face to face with the Lord, and you're left here to deal with that. Are you ready? What are you willing to do? What are you willing to do? There's some points. Momentum, the daily intake of teaching the word of God. That's what maturity requires. Secondly, motivation, which comes from the personal love for God. That's motivation. You're encouraged, motivated, challenged, which is the motivation to continue to learn the word of God or Bible doctrine. And there are four subpoints on this. Are you willing to do this? Number one, personal love for God through learning the word of God takes us to pleroma, high ground. The Greek word for the great blessings God has for us in time. You want blessings? Go to Mount Pleroma. Two, a personal sense of destiny. Do you have a destiny? You sure do. Bible doctrine takes you there. Wall of fire. Believe in the wall of fire. Three, maximum glorification of God. God is glorified when His children stand fast with His truth. See, the worst they can do is kill you in this absence from the body and face to face with the Lord. You can't lose. That's hard idea to sell, but it's absolutely true. You have the power to stand fast for truth, and God honors that, and even if they kill you, absent from the body and face to face with the Lord, and we studied that just yesterday with those people on the cross, two of them, Jesus and the guy that said, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And he said it over and over. That was interesting, the verb structure there. The verb structure means repetition. Remember me when you go into your kingdom. Remember, you said it over and over, remember me when you go into your kingdom. Remember me. Over and over he said that. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. And I didn't exegete paradise. That was a little too much for the crowd yesterday. Paradise is a holding pattern. Which people before Jesus Christ descends, that they have to stay there for a while before they can ascend. But nevertheless, I decided just leave it at that. That's the word. But it was true. Today, you will be with me in paradise. And it's a portion of Hades, Hades. Didn't go into that either. But you get the drill. There's some things you can say and some things you can't. Just let it lie. Paradise sounds pretty good. Protection from the grace of God provided for us in eternity past and given to us now in our time of need. And boy, is this a time of need. Therefore, we need the protection. Power through the filling of the Holy Spirit, who is our mentor and teacher and brings to our remembrance the things we have forgotten. So we forget things. Joe Henry tells me I forget a lot. Well, this coming weekend, I will be 82, so I have the privilege to forget things. And I'm still vertical. Power through the filling of the Holy Spirit, who is our mentor and teacher, and brings to our remembrance the things we have forgotten. No greater challenge has ever faced believers in a client nation to God than when they are under the fifth cycle of discipline and terrorism. I want to repeat that. You pay attention. No greater challenge has ever faced believers in a client nation than when they are under the fifth cycle of discipline and terrorism. Therefore, we have the potential for the greatest happiness in human history under these conditions. See that point G there? I'll read it again. We can go get tea and crumpets. No greater challenge has ever faced believers in a client nation, presently functional USA, a client nation to God, than when they are under the fifth cycle of discipline currently underway, and terrorism, the streets of America. Therefore, we have potential for the greatest happiness in human history under these conditions. Got that? Now you're on the front lines of the warfare. See that? Now we're at point H, and I've told you I'd let you go get coffee, so I'll just save this for the second session. But there are two more paragraphs we'll need to observe before we get through with this particular paragraph. And so we'll just do that when we get back, and it puts us back here at 10 till the hour. See you then.